I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts.
Oh my.
Welcome to this episode of Infotainment. This is the Last Stop Podcast Shop on your internet dial. I'd like to say hello to you, and especially you. Welcome for all the fun, festivities, and frivolities that my regular listeners have come to love, and that your ears can stand. Well, let's stop, drop, and roll right into the program. For this episode, I'm welcoming back my special correspondent. He's been on several shows, CJ. How are you doing?
I am doing great. How are you doing, Randy?
Not too bad. We're just recording. This is my 64th episode of Infotainment.
64? Where has the time gone?
Yeah. It's been a long road since episode one, that's for sure.
Yep, I remember when you did the first one.
But
a while back.
Yes, it was. And I was going to talk about, well, one of the first ones was, I just looked this up, and how often do you use the hand dryer in the public restroom?
I just use it at the Mall of America and used it today, matter of fact.
I just saw some pictures of some really interesting bacteria and stuff that circulates with the air in the hand dryers. And this story says, researchers tried to warn us back in 2016 about the disgusting number of germs fancy Dyson hand dryers actually spread. Apparently 1,300 times more than paper towels. But now one microbiology student has uncovered just how disgusting the dryers actually are. According to the New York Times, Nicole Ward and her classmates were tasked with finding out just how much bacteria would grow in various unsterilized locations. After setting down a petri dish there for 3 minutes, Ward decided she'd put hers inside a Dyson hand dryer in the woman's bathroom and quickly discovered her spot was much grosser than all of her other classmates. In a viral Facebook post, the California woman displayed a photo of a truly horrifying arrangement of fungi that was apparently lurking inside the ubiquitous machines.
What kind of machine?
Ubiquitous.
I believe that's it. I just want to hear you say it twice.
Yeah. Ubiquitous. I know I have problems with some of these. I usually say I butchered that name. I butchered a lot of last names. I usually say, well, you're getting this stuff for free, so don't complain too much.
But one more time, what was the name?
Ubiquitous.
Okay, I won't torture you anymore. It's your show.
Ubiquitous. Something like
exactly.
That. Exactly. Yeah. But it states, do not ever dry your hands in those things again, she wrote. This is several strains of possible pathogenic fungi and bacteria that you're swirling around your hands. And I saw pictures of it, and it was extremely gross-looking petri dish, what I saw. Unfortunately, this isn't video to show you that picture, but it was extremely gross. The swarm of contaminants seemed either vindicated or completely outraged by the post, with some blaming the dryers for making people sick, and others claiming that Ward is being deceptive or unscientific. Ward told the Times that she's even received some death threats. I mean, who would give a person death threat for over that, except maybe the makers of the machine?
Right.
But mostly the post has tapped into a years-long war between the paper towel and hand dryer industry about which product is more sanitary. Big Dryer already clapped back at the viral post by questioning Ward's methodology, which is exactly what it did in 2016 when a university student concluded that their machine spread bacteria. After Vice wrote about that study, a representative from Dyson emailed to say that the paper towel industry has scaremongered with this research for the past 4 years. The Time notes that one of the only independently funded studies into the matter found that paper towels and hand dryers were mostly hygienically equivalent. But until scientists decide one way or the other, it might make sense to just wave your hands around or wipe them on your jeans after washing them.
That's going to be real sanitary, too.
I've
been working in a pig pen all day.
Oh, man, I hear that's... I mean, I know they wear stuff, but they do have pig farms in this state, and I've heard that people have to, like, burn their clothes. The suits they wear, it just doesn't mask that smell. And
Yeah, Randy, I just washed my hands. Let me wipe them on your shirt.
I don't know. Oh, man, it makes me... But you should see that. It's on vice.com. There's pictures of the petri dish, and it's just gross. But I don't know how they... She said she just held it under the dryer for 3 minutes, or I guess that's what she did.
It gives me interesting pictures in my mind, though. That's crazy. Yeah. That is crazy.
But you should give my last episode a listen, too. I talk about Super Bowl halftime shows. And for those of you who know, Valentine's Day is coming up. And I had a couple women I met at SCSU do a dramatic reading called Romance After Sunset. And it was quite interesting. I didn't realize how good of friends they were until after I had to stop it because it got a little noisy, and I think they were having technical difficulties. But after I listened to it for about 20, 30 minutes, I had to go have a couple Benson and Hedges cigarettes. And but yeah, if you're in the mood for some good Valentine's Day entertainment, it's pretty good. And
yeah. That's funny. That is funny.
I heard you were at the Mall of America today. I haven't been there in years. I was just wondering what has changed there since I've been there. I remember it when it's like Camp Snoopy. I know it's something different now.
Yeah, it's I think run by Nickelodeon now.
Oh, okay.
And there's still a lot of rides and stuff in there, and still have the home plate in there, you know, from back when that was the site of the Twins baseball stadium, you know, years and years and years ago. And so they still have that, and still have the roller coaster and the real huge gigantuan Ferris wheel in there. And of course, a lot of the stores have changed in that. And but, you know, today there wasn't a whole big crowd. We were in there closer to Christmas, and, of course, it was shoulder to shoulder in there. But today, you know, the parking ramps seemed full, but when you went in the store or went in the mall, there's still, you know, plenty of room to get around pretty easy. And the food court, they've kind of redone. We didn't eat in there, but I walked by it, and they've redone some of it. And I don't know exactly what all they have in there now, but yeah, it's... you know, some new stores. There's one store I meant to go into that my sister told me about it, and it's called the Chad Store, and it's got everything Chad related in there. And we didn't go in there. I'll have to do that the next time.
Chad Store?
Yeah, actually, it's the I don't know if that's the exact name of it, but that's what my sister called it. And so anyway.
Pretty interesting.
But yeah, it was definitely the place to see. And of course, I love rides, and didn't go on any this time. But yeah, I love going in there and riding some of the rides inside, and just a real neat place to be. I like to hang out there.
Yeah, it's a fun place. I didn't mind it. My sister doesn't like it for some reason. She says you wouldn't care to go back in there again. But I like it because you just park one time, you go in, and there, everything's there, you know, movie theater, and I saw a movie there and stuff. I've had some interesting experiences at going to movies up in Minneapolis. I used to live in the Brooklyn Center, where they...
Oh, yes, the tourist spot of the Twin Cities.
Yeah, Brooklyn Center, Brooklyn Park. That's in a couple of the northern suburbs there of the Minneapolis area. But right down the street, I could walk to this theater, which I did. The Regal Cinema, I think, is like 16 screens and stadium seating. I was there when a black woman and a white woman were arguing back and forth and screaming and stuff about something, and kind of ruined the last 20 minutes of the movie for me. And
didn't like the side entertainment, huh?
No, no. And then another time I went to that theater, and a couple black dudes brought in aluminum foil, and they opened them up, and they were eating chicken while they were in the I know there's like a cinema grill there where you can have food while you're, you know, more like pizza and hamburgers and stuff while you watch a movie, but this theater wasn't really geared for that. This town is one of the worst. I mean, there's so many littler towns around the area that have movie theaters, but this town here just can't seem to get her done to build a new theater to see first-run movies.
Huh.
If ever a streaming service can put it together to run first-run movies at a little higher price, I would suppose... And stuff, they'd probably put regular theaters out of business. But who wants to put up with the hassle, you know, of people kicking your seat and talking on their cell phones and stuff like that?
Right, yeah, that's just just common decency. You think most people, you know, hey, but there's some real wacky people now that think they can just do whatever they want, wherever they want.
Yeah.
You know? It's crazy.
I used to go to one that was really nice in Coon Rapids. I forget what that one was called.
Showplace 16, I believe.
Yeah.
Right off of Foley Boulevard and Highway 10.
Yeah. That was a nice theater.
And a lot of the theaters up in the Twin Cities now, I don't think they're all going that way, but a lot of them now you have to make reservations. Or they're assigned seats.
Really?
You can't just go and pick your own seat anymore. Yeah, I think it's really stupid up here. They haven't started doing that in Missouri yet, but I know a lot of the theaters around here now, you have to, they're assigned seats, and it's just really dumb. But
this is regular theaters?
Regular theaters.
Huh.
So
make reservations.
Either reservations or it's assigned seats. I mean... I think it's more the assigned seats than the reservation thing. But regardless, it's just dumb to have to have assigned seats, not be able to go in there. And if the seat's open, that's what you're going to get or whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's just weird. And yeah, because, well, our theater, when we had it, was located in our mall, which has seen its better days. I used to work at Godfather's Pizza there back in high school and stuff, and eventually all the stores started closing, and the theater and a few other places were the only ones left. So eventually, and then the mall owner didn't care about anything, so he let the roof leak on the theater, and some of the theaters were getting water from rain in the theater, and so the mall has been demolished, and now it's a huge car lot.
What a shame.
Yeah.
What a shame. But I don't know which mall it was, but one of the indoor malls in the Twin Cities was actually the very first indoor mall in the United States. I don't know if it was Southdale or which of the Dales it was, but one of them was the very first indoor mall in the United States.
That's
the concept started from.
Yeah, I think I've heard that, but I don't remember which one it was either.
Hey, I got a story for you.
Sure.
Kind of switching gears, although we're talking about stores and place where you spend money to go see movies and go shopping and stuff. But I have a story here about a mix-up at the Michigan Unemployment Office.
All right.
Apparently, and I'm a dog lover, but I don't think my dog has ever done this for me. A dog was approved for unemployment benefits. Attorney Michael Haddock reported that he received a notice from the Michigan Unemployment Insurance Agency in the mail that that said Michael Ryder will receive $360 a week. Ryder, however, is a name of Haddock's German Shepherd, and Michael is his first name. So Haddock assumed the notice was for his dog. Not sure what he's going to do with the money, but it should be interesting, Haddock said. I knew he was clever, but he surprised me this time. Unfortunately for Ryder, he won't get a chance to cash those checks after the UIA got word of the mix-up. I know firsthand it's rare for a man's best friend to contribute financially to the household, and that will continue in this instance, said Tim Kohler, the state administrator of investigations at the UIA. Chris DeWitt, spokesman for the Talent Investment Agency, which is a division of the UIA, told the Detroit Free Press that the supposed mix-up could be an example of fraud. It's important to note that no money was paid out, DeWitt said. Criminals get a hold of people's personal information, like name, address, and social security numbers, and they file a false claim. And, of course, everybody knows filing a false claim is a crime. So, interesting. The dog receives unemployment.
I've heard of guys dressing up like their mother or something to claim their social security after their mother has been deceased for a long time. And amazing, all the
some people go a step further with that, and instead of burying their loved one, they'll put them in a freezer and say, well, he's not buried, so technically he's still alive. And I'm like, that don't make sense.
They've
gone and investigated and find the body in the deep freezer in the garage or something, and you know, well, I didn't bury her, so she's technically still here.
Oh,
just the weird things people do.
I don't know if there's enough baking soda, deodorizer stuff.
I don't know. It's I don't know. Just a weird world we live in.
There's just so much fraud and stuff going on. I know that I got messed up with this Guru Aid company that supposedly fixed computers, getting rid of viruses and stuff like that, and they're like connecting themselves with other like security firms, and you think you're calling like AVG or Norton, but actually you're calling Guru Aid and
somebody overseas in India.
Yep, dots, not feathers.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
and also, I even got a scammer on, I don't know what the deal is, but I got somebody on Skype that wants to be my friend, and I have no idea who she is. Add me as a contact, and I get those in my email too, you know, on Facebook and stuff. Add me as a friend, and hi, I'm Mary, do you remember me? And that's all they say. And well, am I supposed to remember every Mary I've met in my life? And
sometimes you just want to go along with it and say, yeah, I remember you.
Do you remember that show, To Catch a Predator, with Chris Hansen?
I've heard of it. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, it's been several years now, but he was the one that would always come out of when the cops would set up a sting operation where some guy would think they were going to go have sex with an underage girl or boy, and then they'd walk into the room, and then Chris Hansen would step out and, can we talk a minute? And this guy would be, and there was one guy who came there, and he walked in the house completely naked.
Oh, brother.
And so Chris Hansen gave him a towel. And then there's the guy that does America's John Walsh. I think, you know, those two should team up and go after all these like phone scammers and internet scammers and scams by mail. And actually, like this Guru Aid, I'd like to see them bust into the place where their actual phone center is, wherever it is. The reason I found out it was a scam is I went to my computer place where I bought my last two computers, and they looked it up and found out it was a scam. And I should have known to do my research on that, but I was so eager to get my computer fixed that I was willing to try about anything, and I did, unfortunately. So they said it was just a scam, and here's what they do. They start bleeding your credit card for little amounts at a time, and I don't know if it ends up where they just one charge and they max it out or how that exactly works. But
I had one scammer one time call me and said they left a message first, and they said, "Yeah, we've been trying to reach you. You owe back taxes or something, and you need to reach us right away, because if you don't, we're going to start garnishing your check." And I'm like, what is this guy talking about? So I finally called several different times. I got weird people on the phone. Finally got to him, and he returned my call. And we talked, and I said, "You know what? I said, I'll be glad to pay my back taxes, but first I'm going to have my lawyer talk to you guys, and you're going to have to deal with my lawyer." Click, hung up. Never heard from the person since.
Well, that's...
Yeah, I've never owed back taxes, so... I knew it was a scam right away, but as soon as I said I'll have my lawyer contact you, then that was it.
Yeah, my mom, luckily I was there. She got a call from some guy from India saying she had won so much in a check, and they needed to talk with her. And I said, you know, and it just smelled like this scam from the... And I said, "Well, what company are you with?" And blah, blah, blah. And so I was right there by my computer. And I said, I looked it up, and I said, "Well, you know what? It says by your company, and it says scam." And the guy tried calling back like 3-4 times before he gave up and stuff. So I told my mother just to hang up. She couldn't understand him anyway because of his accent.
All right.
So... But yeah, I think that'd be a great show if this Chris Hansen and John Walsh would team up and just go after scammers and stuff. So,
what other weird things have you found on your side of town?
Well, let's see. Well, this woman in New Hampshire, she claims to have won the $560 million Powerball jackpot. I don't know exactly. This is very recently. I know one younger kid won one, and he said he was retiring. I think he was from, like, Florida or somewhere. I'm not sure on that. But she is fighting to remain anonymous and is losing about $14,000 a day in interest, her attorneys say. Stephen Gordon is trying to fast-track a court hearing in the case, telling the New Hampshire union leader that time is of the essence in this matter. The winning ticket purchased in January at Reed's Ferry Market in Merrimack, New Hampshire, translates to a lump sum cash prize of $352 million before taxes and $268 million after taxes. The woman, who has not yet submitted her winning ticket to the New Hampshire Lottery Commission, is referred to as Jane Doe in the court documents. Pushing the resolution of this case in March will subject Ms. Doe to serious and irreparable financial harm. Well, there's a nice edit for me. Gordon told the union leader, "Pushing the resolution of this case into March will subject Ms. Doe to serious financial harm. Privacy is a main concern for the woman, a longtime resident of New Hampshire and an engaged community member who does not want to be known or targeted as the winner of $500 million, the union leader reported, citing court documents. Gordon is hoping to expedite the hearing from February 21st to February 13th, and the judge is reviewing the request, the paper reported. The purported winner plans to contribute a portion of her prize to a charitable foundation, the report says. I don't know. Her mistake was she signed the back of the ticket. I guess if you don't sign, I think you can remain anonymous. But I don't know. I just think that should be policy. If you want to remain anonymous, you should be able to, because there's a lot of people that would crawl out of the woodwork when they find out that you won a big sum.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. It's people you haven't heard from in years all of a sudden become your best friends, at least in their thinking, you know.
So if you won $500,000 in the Powerball or Mega Ball or whatever the heck it's called, what would be the first thing you would do with that kind of money?
Oh, the very first thing I'd do, I would, of course, I believe giving into your place of worship, so I'd give 10% off of that to my place of worship, and then I would probably pay off all my bills. That would be my first thing, just get completely debt-free, and then probably, I don't know, probably start looking at ways of investing at least part of it, and not spending it all, just investing it. I don't know. I guess that would be a start.
I'd probably do all those things first, too, majority of them. But I had a relative once ask me, and I thought this was a really weird question at the time, and I didn't know how to respond at the time. And she goes, "Why don't you like to spend money?" And I'm going, "Where the hell did that come from?" And she, you know, I should have said, "Well, you know, if I won the lottery for like $500,000, I'd be spending like a madman for, you know, after I invested some, and, you know, I mean, I'd get a super nice house and a few vehicles, maybe a Harley or two, and, you know, and one of those places like the other half live, like these celebrities that have infinity pools and home theaters, and some with even like a 2-lane bowling alley in their mansions and stuff." So I'd be spending a bit of that. And then I'd buy a nice boat that they could live on for a number of months comfortably, you know.
Yeah.
I did read a story. I don't have it printed out, but some couple invested their life savings into like a boat and they were going to take this, they were going to go on a very long boat trip, and like the second day they hit something and it sank, and that was not too good a thing to happen when you put all your money into that and then it sinks.
Right. I think something else I would do, I'd do something like what I read in the story here, and I have to wrap my portion of this up, Randy, here, but I would probably do what I had with what I had won. Might get a few tattoos like this 69-year-old Florida woman had. I don't have any right now. Do you have any?
No, I do not.
Oh, the 69-year-old Florida woman, with nearly her entire body covered in tattoos, was recognized as one of the world's most tattooed people. Charlotte Gutenberg earned the Guinness World Book records for most tattooed woman ever and most tattooed woman living, with 98.75% of her body covered with various works of art. "I knew immediately I wanted to get a full suit," said Gutenberg. Gutenberg first entered the record books in 2015 as the most tattooed female senior citizen, when 91.5% of her body was covered in tattoos. Now she's 98.75%. Now she said her bodysuit has reached full saturation, as only her face and a small portion of her hands remain unmarked. Gutenberg got her first tattoo when she was 50 and met her partner, Chuck Hemlick, the most tattooed male senior citizen, during the session. The couple also each hold an additional record, as Gutenberg has the most feathers tattooed on the body with 216, and Hemlick has the most skulls tattooed on the body at 376. No deadhead there, I'm sure.
Oh.
Or should I say a real deadhead? But can you imagine that? Boy, I don't have any, don't intend on getting any, but seriously, you know, if I did, it'd only be one, maybe two, and people just go all out and feel they have to cover themselves. I guess one way of looking at it, you wouldn't necessarily have to get dressed every day.
Well, that... let's see how you... I don't know if that'd fly with the cops, but...
no, but how could they tell?
Oh, I have seen those women that had clothes painted on them that walk around totally nude, and it looks like they're dressed.
Yep.
Yeah, I've seen that before. And I've also seen older people with tattoos, and they've gotten them a long time ago, like guys in the military service that have had their tattoos a very long time, and they just look like a bruise now. I don't know.
Well, as Williams and Ree once said, you know, it's just nothing but moving pictures.
It's a, you know, and so, something gets out of line when something sags, and then it doesn't look good. And
look at them mountains move.
Yeah. If they ever get a way to pain-free tattoo, maybe I'd get one, but not. I've seen videos of people screaming when they're getting tattoos of the pain. Yep. So
yeah, and you can get like infections and that kind of thing from it. So I guess it's more with those that are amateurs and don't keep their equipment clean like they should. But still, it was just, I don't know. I don't like shots, and to me, it's too much like getting a shot. So,
although I have had a flu shot, a pneumonia shot, and a tetanus shot this year, and shots are not too bad these days as far as pain.
Yep, but I don't know. The other way I look at it, you know, if God gave you a great body, why cover it up with paint? I just don't get it. But that's me. I mean, to each his own, but that's me.
Yep, that's true.
Well, I'm getting a wrap-up here, Randy. I have to scoot. Yeah, I'm getting a wrap-up sign here, and I know this is taking up some satellite time, and we need to get moving here. But again, thanks for having me on your program again. Enjoyed it, like always, and bringing up some great, interesting stories here. And you never know what's going to come on your podcast here.
Yeah, you just never know. You just never know. But give that last one a listen for the dramatic reading for Valentine's Day. It's pretty humorous.
I will certainly do that, and I will give it a listen and get back to you.
Well, thanks for joining us on this episode of Infotainment. I hope you can come back soon for another episode.
Always, and maybe one of these times, the weather gets a little bit warmer, we'll be able to do it live from your studio again, and not have to take up satellite time here. I look forward to trying to get down there to the big town where your studio's at, and do another show from down there, down south.
Sounds good.
Well, all right. Take care.
You too. Bye. Well, we will now stop, drop, and roll right into another topic. This one is a strange one. Very strange. A child was taken to a voodoo practitioner for discipline. Police say she will be permanently disfigured. The cause of the girl's misbehavior was obvious, the woman said. There was a demon inside her, and it needed to come out. It would not do so willingly. So the women, Peggy LaBossiere, 51, and Rachel Hilaire, 40, of East Bridgewater, Mass., bound the 5-year-old's feet together and tied her hands to a long stick over her head, preventing her from resisting the voodoo ritual that followed. According to a police report obtained by the Enterprise, a Brockton, Mass. Newspaper, then LaBossiere kissed the girl all around the face like a snake, the report said, then used a pointy object like a needle to cut the girl on her arm and around her collar, drawing blood. Then came the burning. LaBossiere blew flames from a burning stick over the girl's face. She also put oils and at least one caustic chemical on the girl's head and in her eyes, causing a burn that doctors say will cause a permanent disfigurement, the police report said. LaBossiere also allegedly worked voodoo on the girl's 8-year-old brother. When he resisted, she threatened to cut his head off with a machete, police said, according to the Associated Press. LaBossiere made him undress and rubbed his entire body with a plant-like substance and blew fire on him. It's unclear what caused the police in East Bridgewater,
about 25 miles south of Boston, to ultimately intervene, but when they arrived, both children smelled of smoke, the AP said. They were taken to the hospital. Labossiere and Hilaire are both charged with assault after being arrested in mid-January. Hilaire is accused of aiding in the ritual by holding the children down. The children's mother, a hairdresser who has Labossiere as a client, was not charged, although she was taken to a mental hospital for evaluation. The children were taken into custody by child welfare authorities, police told the AP. All the people involved are of Haitian descent, including the children's mother. The public defender for Labossiere and Hilaire could not be immediately reached for comment. Now, if ever you had an example of bad parenting, this might be it. This would be it. To put your kids through that, I don't care if you're Haitian, Jamaican, or whatever, putting chemicals in eyes and around their head and blowing fire on them is just, it just goes to show you we're getting dumber as a nation, unfortunately. I didn't know, well, when first reading the story, I didn't know the mother was Haitian, too. So it looks like she was hauled off to a mental institution. So maybe she was complicit with the kids being with these two maniacs. But hopefully those kids can adjust to somewhat of a normal life eventually and move as far away from these people as possible. I don't know if they have any relatives that are sort of level-headed that they can go to, and that their mother would not try to get them back. If you're their Catholic priests, and that would do a exorcism, might be a safer method of going about that. Being of Haitian descent, maybe voodoo is their first choice to do something like that. Yeah, sometimes it's not fun and games, but we will trudge on and talk about something a little bit more uplifting than that story. A strange one it is. Netflix has two new comedy specials out, one by Chris Rock and the other by Dave Chappelle. You talk about some guys with some demons, and Chris Rock kind of admitted that he had disappeared for quite a few years, that he had gone through a divorce and he had been married for 16 years, and he was addicted to pornography, which I thought, whoa. But then he made some joke about that. I'll make your joke even better there, Chris. You can buy this. And he said something about, you watch too much of it, you get desensitized. If you're not watching midgets jumping out of a car, having an orgy with a donkey there and a 400-pound woman, and you have to have that to have your dick move an inch, and you know you're addicted to porn. Well, another thing you know you're addicted to porn is if you can identify the porn star just by looking at a picture of their genitalia. The other day, some people said I was behind the times, and I said, do you have a place where I can hang up my members only jacket? And I also said, hey, did you hear the news? I couldn't believe it, but and it struck me wild that the internet actually has porn now. Like, who knew? So, Chris, if you want to buy some or part of that material, you can, since you're paying off three lawyers and a divorce settlement. Maybe you can use some new, different things, but different jokes. Yeah, they both did great. And then Dave Chappelle, he kind of went into why he kind of disappeared after his show, and he relayed a story from a book called Pimp, And I don't know what we were supposed to infer by that as to why he went to South Africa. I don't even know what he did there, if he had people he knew down there or just was taking a sabbatical. But it's kind of sad because he said this was going to be his last stand-up special. He said, I'm good at it. So, and I've, you know, kind of like when you're good at something at the top, like Seinfeld and Dave Chappelle, why not leave on top? And that's the way it goes. Seinfeld was kind of asked recently about doing his show again, and he said, well, why? Yeah, kind of why. I have more money than 99% of the people, and another reason, I guess, Julia Louis-Dreyfus has cancer now, so hopefully have a speedy recovery there, but I heard it was pretty serious. So a reunion might not be in the horizon for that show. So, but yeah, Chris Rock's admission was interesting. He also said something about he was training his kids how to deal with the crackers in the world. You know, someone calls me a cracker, that's fine. One weird experience I had up when I lived in Brooklyn Park in the cities, which is predominantly black, at least at that time. I don't know what mixture of races live there now, but this couple came up to me, this black couple, and he's like, you think she's attractive? You think she's attractive? Why don't you give her a kiss? And I'm like, oh, don't do this to me, man. I just got out of there. I said, you know, if I did that, he probably would have kicked the crap out of me. And I don't know, something strike you as odd. And so you try to get out of it as soon as you can. It's like if I had really laid one on her, I don't know how that guy would have dealt with it. But yeah, it's a, and then the old N-word. I don't know, it's white people aren't supposed to say that, but black comedians they get a free ride on using that word. Relay a story. I don't really like the word, but I will relay a story. My mother passed away at the age of 92, and she and my oldest half brother remember a time where that word was more commonly used, perhaps a lot more commonly. And me and my mother were driving in a car going over to my brother's house, I believe, and there was a blues song on the radio, and it was obvious that a black person was singing that, and she goes, remember, this is not me singing this, and my mother didn't use this word often or nothing, but this was the one time she did. She goes, well, that's an old nigger tune. And I'm just like, Mom, what are you saying? Out of the mouths of mothers sometimes. They say that about children, but, you know, I don't give a shit if somebody calls me a cracker or whatever, whitey, honky. Probably in like East St. Louis. Yeah, Chris Rock's always about teaching his children how to deal with the white man. You got to be hard. You got to be sharp. And you got to be... Well, Chris, if you look around, it may not be the white man they have to deal with much longer. the way things are going. Why don't you move to, like, East St. Louis and see how your kids deal with that? Or come here to Worthington. We got about everybody here being a Minnesota sanctuary city. So you might want to include that with having your kids deal with people. How do you deal with the Mexicans, the Asians, whatever? Oh, another thing I was going to talk about was I enjoy doing this podcast, but sometimes I don't get an immediate reaction like I did when I did stand-up comedy for a few open stages that I did. And I did not remember the headliner's name, and now I do. This was a number of years ago for my 3 minutes of the funniest person in the Twin Cities contest. The first prize was $1,000. I got a compliment from Alex Cole, and I was in awe, you know, because he was funny and a paid comedian, and should have gotten his own sitcom, but that's my own opinion. And his brother, the common man, Dan Cole, I know these people will not most likely hear this at all. Probably will not. Is of note in the Twin Cities being one of the better sports talk show hosts up there. The K-Fan, getting her done for the Twin Cities area. Yeah, Alex Cole, he seemed like a real nice guy. He complimented my material, and that meant more to me than I winning. I won by 1 point. I wasn't loud enough, I guess. And that was the one place where a woman gave me the evil stare of death. That was one of two times that I've gotten a look that was worse than, like, me, I'm pissed at you because you didn't mow the lawn. They wanted to, if they could have killed me with their eyes, they would have. The other time was, I was at a convenience store, and I bought something with some bills, and they were a little crumpled in my billfold, so I handed them to her. I guess I didn't straighten them out to her satisfaction. So she, typical man, and she was telling that to somebody else in the store, and I go, well, I leave the toilet seat up too. Boy, did she stare me down. I quickly exited the store. But thanks to Alex Cole, and I'm kind of getting the itch to try. I wish I would have stuck with the open stages, and maybe I could have been someone who's gotten paid by now. Being from living in Southwest Minnesota, their comedy clubs are hard to find around here. Actually, I think they're about zero. I think the closest. Some people, like Louis Anderson, who seems like a real nice guy, he has gone to, some of them gone to Mankato or something like that. But that's what I wanted to say about that. And but both Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle, I wish they'd actually double bill of them too. That would sell out like crazy. I mean, they could get a third guy and go out there like Jeff Foxworthy and Larry the Cable Guy and Bill Engvall and do a tour. So, and maybe throw in a white guy. Call it Three Niggers and a White Guy. comedy tour. I'm going to catch y'all for saying that word twice. But, this cracker's, I think, done with this episode 64 of Infotainment, and now we'll call Black Alert and spore drive this episode of Infotainment to the interwebs. You can find it on iTunes. You can email me at randyms12@gmail.com. My Twitter, you can tweet my Twitters at Randy Podcaster, my Facebook page under infotainmentpodcast.com. I'd like to wish everyone happy day tomorrow and a happy ending tonight. Bye-bye, folks. When you were before, look you in the eye, you're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. So fucking special. But I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the hell am I doing?
wish I was special, but I'm a creep. I'm a winner. What the hell am I doing here?
I don't belong.